Blog Talk Radio.
Idiots to get their jobs.
Today I watched three network morning news programs, none of which had any news. It appeared that all the news writers had today off and left mannequin-like celebrity anchor men and women staring stupidly at their monitors, waiting for something to say or read. Then their directors mercifully cut away from them to focus on some horrible, out-of-key singing celebrities and amateur celebrity chefs making something disgusting no one wants to eat. And some poorly dressed designers or stylists show all the department store overstocked fashions no one wanted to buy in 2012 and tries to convince the viewers that they are the new trend for 2013. Well, for over an entire hour, no one on any network gave any news today. You would think that the world stopped, but every news reporter or anchor wore dumb smiles and waved. It said it didn't even give a weather report. So this is what we can expect for the rest of the year. More of nothing from the media as we slide over the cliff, and more of nothing from government. I believe everything and everyone stopped today, and no one really cared. The Mayans predicted the collapse of all old systems during this time. Most people aren't concerned about the Mayan prediction and more concerned with their hangovers, or are relieved the holidays are almost over. And the work week starts tomorrow for most of the world, and everyone will date everything the rest of this week as 2012. And I still believe the world has transcended dimensions, and we are all living in 4D. Proof of it is that no one knows what they are doing today, or going to do today, except to celebrate it as the first day of the new year. Everybody is dreaming up a resolution or plan of action to follow for 2013. My advice is to skip the planning, enjoy the rest of today, get used to 4D living, and trust your heart and soul to direct your pathway into the new year. Happy 4D New Year. Sinuk children go back to school after massacre. It must be extremely difficult. Yeah, I wrote this on January 3rd. It must be extremely difficult for all the Sandy Hook children to go back to school today, even if they were going to a different school in a different town. It is hard to believe that everyone is going back to school in that town 3 weeks after the massacre, though you will never hear about those who refuse to go to school on the U.S. news. That would seem too much like a protest or a controversy and cause unwanted questions or embarrassment to school officials in towns and state administrators who are all basking in the light of their newfound fame and heroism. The absurdity of the administrators of the school system is that they think recreating the Monroe School into a replica of the original Sandy Hook Elementary School is a great idea. Why would anybody want to be reminded of the massacre of 20 of their schoolmates by decorating the school in the exact same way the original school was decorated would certainly bring back horrid memories of the massacre. I have to wonder at the sanity of those who came up with that idea and why they were allowed to work with children. Hundreds of grief-stricken volunteers and mourning administrators, teachers, and parents all pouring out their grief into a building, an exact replica and a memorial of the scene of the massacre in a neighboring town. Oh, one would think that changing everything about the school would be a better idea than recreating the same school that 20 first grade students got massacred in. I'm sorry, but the entire plan of recreating the old school is deranged, and the Sandy Hook Elementary School children are going back to school too soon after that horrific massacre. If I were a grieving parent, or even a resident of Sandy Hook, I would be questioning the mental stability of those in charge of the school system. But no one is publicly questioning anybody about this massacre or the mental or emotional competence of the teachers or administrators still suffering from traumatic stress. VeteransToday.com website recently exposed many disturbing contradictions of the Sandy Hook massacre investigation. The first most disturbing contradiction was that the coroner reported, coroner's report stated all victims were killed with an assault rifle. But Adam Lanza, the alleged shooter, did not have an assault rifle with him. It was found in the trunk of his car, unused. Lanza only had two loaded pistols with multiple ammo clips. The second odd contradiction to the official investigation of the shooting is that another man was found and arrested in the wooded area near the school at the time of the shooting. He was dressed in camouflage and a black face mask. He supposedly told the police he had nothing to do with the shooting, but very little about the man was announced publicly, and has since gone completely out of the news, as has the entire investigation. The Sandy Hook massacre is being allowed to go down in history with 9/11 and all the other covered-up investigations that lead directly to a government or international conspiracy, including the most recent mass murder in Aurora, Colorado. Why would anyone do such a thing, you might ask? My answer is, why does our own government deliberately poison millions of its citizens, as it does now with fluoridated water, deadly vaccinations, chemtrailing the atmosphere with radioactive and metallic particles? Why does our government allow poisons and radiations to pollute sky and ground and water and oil to fill our oceans and allow the production and distribution of unlabeled GMO foods and cloned meats that cause national pandemics of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer? Why does our government allow the grand theft of trillions of taxpayer dollars by U.S. and foreign banks and corporations? It is sad to say that Americans just don't get it. Americans are being massacred daily on our roadways, in our cities, towns, workplaces, homes, and even in our hospitals. The complete disregard and contempt of the American people by our Congress was most apparent when they refused to vote yesterday on the long overdue disaster relief bill that would give financial relief to hundreds of communities and to millions of Americans whose lives were destroyed by Hurricane Sandy and hundreds of tornadoes and massive storms that recently devastated many regions of the U.S. Today begins the 113th U.S. Congress and the swearing-in of our elected officials. It is ironic that it would be the first day of school for the returning children of Sandy Hook Elementary School. It is ironic that the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre happened at the same time 50 million American people were trying to feed themselves and their families through the holiday season on food stamps and unemployment checks and concerned about falling off their personal financial or fiscal cliff if the government suspended unemployment benefits to 2 million recipients. As the parents of the children of Sandy Hook send their children back to school today and the rest of Americans who are not unemployed go to work, little, if anything, will be remembered of the fiscal cliff negotiations or the Afghan war or Iraq, Pakistan, or Palestine or the 60,000 lives lost in 2012 in Syria's civil war. Everything is so easy to forget, especially if we are not reminded. Within days, Sandy Hook will be forgotten by most Americans when some other insane act of violence or some great moronic domestic or militaristic government action goes into effect, like the new tax increase on wage earners, and Obama nominates John Kerry and a few more idiots into his cabinet and administration. The entire U.S. media and government are designed to limit information to the masses and continue all cover-ups and incompetence as usual. President G.W. Bush made the most articulate statement of his presidency the day he spoke to the people of New York City as he stood on the rubble of the World Trade Center the day after 9/11 and said, "Don't worry, go shopping." Yes, folks. That's what's going on.
Engulfed in flames, and the owner and I could do nothing but watch it burn as we stood across the street.
didn't happen to me today, but it could have. I'm just grateful I could get to the repair garage without blowing myself up. Now I'm hoping it doesn't cost me a fortune to fix it. Sometimes the repair bill for an older car could be worth more than the car. A misfortune like this seems to happen when we can least afford them, least expect them. This is a really bad way to start the new year. But I'm counting my blessings. It could have been worse. I could have blown up. And, yeah, I picked the car up that afternoon. And it was a $150 bill. And, you know, I fixed it. And that was okay. Now it's riding fine. No problems. Yep. So far. So, I'm riding around again. I said, one of the things I did last few weeks was really, I got into graphics. I don't know why. I just had to be doing designs. So there's quite a few designs and pictures on my website, iSteelShow.org. And also, I have an article on the Merkaba. And a video. Unfortunately, the video just has music and a lot of pictures. It doesn't really have any in the words or red. But it's an excellent video if you want to watch it. It's called The Chariot of Ascension, and it's right on my website under Merkaba. I just want to read this. For those of you who may not be familiar with the word of Merkaba, of the term. But it says, anyone who understands the Merkaba understands that it is our interdimensional travel machine. My friend George Dixon first introduced me to the term Merkaba and the meditations to awaken this force within us. I have tried to explain interdimensional travel in the last few posts, which try to explain the unexplainable. Understanding that we have the power of the Merkaba within us is the most important lesson we can learn. And I wish you happy travels. Merkaba is the body of light. Merkaba is a divine light vehicle, allegedly used by ascended masters to connect with and reach those in tune with the higher realm. Mer means light, Ka means spirit, and Ba means body. Merkaba means the spirit body surrounded by counter-rotating fields of light, wheels within wheels, spirals of energy, as in DNA, which transports spirit body from one dimension to another. The Merkaba is a crystalline energy field that is comprised of specific sacred geometries that align the mind, body, and heart together. This energy field created from sacred geometry extends around the body for a distance of 55 feet. These geometric energy fields normally spin around our bodies at close to the speed of light, but for most of us, they are slowed down or stopped spinning entirely due to the lack of attention and use. When this field is reactivated and spinning properly, it is called a Merkaba. A fully activated Merkaba looks like the structure of a galaxy or a UFO. The Merkaba enables us to experience expanded awareness, connects us with the elevated potentials of consciousness, and restores access and memory of the infinite possibilities of our being. When the Merkaba meditation is performed correctly, the Merkaba fluidly integrates our feminine or intuitive, receptive, and masculine active dynamic aspects of our mind and spirit. And that was from the humanangel.com website. You go to that, and there's some fascinating, there's an interesting definition lengthier definition of the Merkabah, and I believe some videos there. But I'd like to refer you to that humanangel.com website. And if you want to learn more about your ability to cross dimensions, I wanted to mention, I also, on my website, laSteelShow.org, I also got two new advertisers, but one is Bouncing Bear Botanicals. If anybody's into rare and sacred exotic plant seeds, and especially ethogens, this is the place to go. You can go down, you can go right to my site, go to Bouncing Bear Botanicals. Go in, click right on that site, right on that link, and go check it out. It's really a remarkable place. Everything you can imagine is there that you can buy legally. It's all legal. All legal. Good operation. Bouncing Bear Botanicals. And the next thing I wanted to, before I go to interesting music break that I have set up for you today. I wanted to read one more article. It was called President Obama's Gun Control Speech. I don't know if anybody saw this, but I happened to be on, happened to have seen it. This is on the, 2 days after the Sandy Hook tragedy, massacre. And President Obama came up with this speech on gun control. And it says, this is my criticism, if you will, of it. There was a sense of sincerity in Obama's speech today, a sense of urgency to get something done, and yet a surprising respect for American gun owners and their Second Amendment right to own and bear arms. I will reserve my judgment of today's speech once we see what his executive orders will be. As for legislation, it is unlikely that the Republican Congress will legislate against the National Rifle Association or arms manufacturers. Of all Obama's rhetoric, only two areas of American arms control seem feasible. First is the reduction of ammo magazines to 10-round clips. The second is a major focus on the mentally ill in America. The assault rifle was banned in 1994, and the ban was allowed to expire. It seemed more of an act of carelessness on Congress's part, neglecting to reinstate the ban rather than the will of the American people to discontinue it. I have to consider all of this from a personal viewpoint. I personally cannot see the need of my owning a Bushmaster assault rifle with a 100-round ammo clip or any automatic rifle. I have to wonder why anyone else but a soldier in the front lines would need an assault rifle. Most murders in the United States are done with pistols or knives. The first mass murders we hear about, the few mass murders we hear about, are those done with machine guns or assault rifles, and many of those who use them don't own them. Like Adam Lanza, the supposed shooter at Sandy Hook, the guns he used were legally owned by his mother, who taught her mentally impaired son to use them. How could a background check have prevented her from owning a gun if she had no criminal record or history of mental illness? Will these new background checks now include all family members of the gun buyer, and is that a serious invasion of privacy? The shooters at Columbine were high school kids who couldn't really buy a gun. The shooter at Aurora, Colorado, was under psychiatric care while he was allowed to buy assault weapons without a background check. And the law already states a background check is necessary to purchase a firearm. If this current law had been enforced, the Aurora shooter could not have legally owned his guns. But that wouldn't have stopped him from buying them illegally. It is the same with most violent criminals. The vast majority of them have unregistered guns. Will this new gun control law stop street gangs from getting illegal guns? Or will it stop gun trafficking throughout the country? The entire idea of gun control will affect the honest gun owner and have little or no effect on the criminal or criminally insane to get a gun. America has one of the lowest crime rates in the industrialized world in ratio with its population, primarily because so many people own guns and are willing and able to protect themselves. The American society is a gun-owning society. My father owned 10 guns. His father owned 15 guns. My grandfather taught my father to use guns and buy and my father taught his kids to use guns and how to hunt or target practice responsibly. Self-defense to an American is always understood as our right, as is our right to own guns to defend ourselves. Guns in the hands of private citizens is the only deterrent to tyranny and the best form of self-defense against criminals. Trusting our police force to save you will only get you killed if you or someone else are being assaulted, or your home is being burglarized, or if you are forced to defend yourself or resist military occupation by outside or domestic forces. The writers of the Constitution understood that to keep a country from tyranny, the people must have the right to free speech and assembly and the right to bear arms. The greatest fear any invading country would have if they invaded the U.S. is knowing there are over 255 million registered guns and billions of rounds of ammunition owned by U.S. citizens and millions of unregistered guns that would be used against any invading nation. Americans must demand their rights to arms to be continually preserved. However, anyone need for an assault rifle with a hundred hollow point bullet clip has to be questioned for the real reason they want to own one. Concern for mental illness in America is a growing concern, especially with the economy in a downturn and so many people losing their jobs and homes. Stresses on our society are causing vast numbers of suicides and disabilities. Child poverty is at an all-time high in America and has not been properly addressed by the government or media. Obama's gun speech was another rhetorical address that will fall on deaf ears. Ending the wars we are in and the poverty and economic decline of America is far more important than taking away our guns, unless leaving Americans defenseless, as so many other governments have done to their people prior to a complete tyrannical takeover, is what Obama's true intention is. So, that's what I feel about this gun speech. Definitely feel that way about the gun speech. When I come back, I'm going to read this State of Madness, but I wanted to take a break down and go away to the Stairway to Heaven. This is on my website. I got a really, really hot graphic that I put up there that I created myself, but attached to it was the idea of this street guitarist plays Stairway to Heaven on YouTube, and I've got this video here, and you have to hear this rendition. It's just amazing, and the guy is amazing, the guitar player. So let me go to that now, and hope you enjoy this. This will be our break. Unfortunately, I don't know the guy's name. It's not on the thing. It just says Steel Guitarist plays Stairway to Heaven. So, and this got over 1 million views on YouTube. Amazing. You'll understand why after you hear it.
Take a break.
That was one of my postings that I posted on the 19th at this one, on my website. You can go there. I hope you do go there and enjoy the graphic that I put up as well. A lot of graphics on the site this one. Also, if anybody's ever wanted to try absinthe, the original absinthe, I have that posted on my website as well, as of today, and you can check that out. Right on the front page, along with Bouncing Bear Butt Temples. It dawned on me on the 18th of this month. I started to reach a state where I just decided I was either going mad or the world was mad or everybody in the world was just crazy. I wrote this article, a short essay called The State of Madness. I got a cool picture on it, too, with a bunch of crazy people. That's pretty good. Mad people have experienced a state of madness in there. Many people, many people have experienced a state of madness in their lives. Anger can often lead to madness, but most cases of what we think is madness are brought on by being unable to understand something or someone. What a state of confusion. Considering the number of people on this planet and the number of mental cases reported worldwide, I guess as a species, mankind is trying desperately to keep it together. Only a small percentage of us are institutionalized. Small percentage of our population. There are signs of humanity's disengagement and madness all around us. But everyone is so involved with their own madness, they fail to see others. Unless the others are violent and truly out of their minds and kill someone or run naked through an auditorium full of people or down a busy street. Madness can be a gift and a curse. As a gift, we see it in most geniuses or high achievers who create great inventions or businesses or new sciences or whatever genius creates. Most of society accepts their individual madness as eccentric behavior rather than outright madness. I've labeled my own madness eccentric. As a writer and talk show host, I know only a madman would do or would continue at what I do. Yet I know of no other way to do what I do other than to do it the way I do it. How else does someone reach hundreds of thousands of readers and listeners without being committed to his work, even if that work may be a form of madness? Most people are attracted to other people who are like they are and think like they do. I realize for the last 13 years I have been writing and broadcasting my views and opinions, and many people have the same opinions and views I do. Or if they don't, they understand my opposing viewpoint and may rethink their views. I no longer worry about my own madness. I accept it, and it appears to be accepted by everyone I am closest to as eccentric. I manage my madness as do most people. I've never known anyone who didn't have a madness of their own. I knew a man once who seemed rational on most counts, but had an irrational fear of squirrels. I knew another guy who was an architect and believed he was the reincarnation of one of the architects of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Everyone has their own beliefs in madness. Whether our madness is religion or philosophy or just compulsive habits, we all suffer and prosper in some way from being mad. Our madness is what makes humanity so unique as a species. I confess that most of the people I like and love are mad. So much for our madness, everybody. Huh? Well, we're all invited. We're all witnessed Obama being sworn in the other day. Barack Obama borrows Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. I wrote this on the 21st, which was just a few days ago. Barack Obama borrowed Martin Luther King's birthday for his inauguration. Today's inauguration is a mock inauguration. The real inauguration happened yesterday on Sunday, 12/20/2013. Because by law, the president must be sworn in on January 20th. The inaugural gala began last night with the children's inaugural ball. Then the morning sickness inauguration hype on every network news morning show. This was a massive brainwashing of American people, for those who actually watched the inauguration. I am certain that at least 6 billion people around the planet don't know about or care about Obama's inauguration. All of this Obama inauguration hype could have happened on Sunday, January 20th, 2013, and Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day should have remained sacred to Americans, and especially to black Americans. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed by the FBI. The King family sued the federal government for the wrongful death of Martin Luther King Jr., and the federal government was found guilty by a federal court, and a settlement was made with the King family. This trial was in 1999. I do not understand why the King family and the civil rights leaders did not protest against the government for stealing the day away from them and their father to honor the first black president. If Martin Luther King Jr. was alive, he would be publicly opposed to the failed leadership of Obama's administration. Martin Luther King Jr. would not have condoned ceaseless drone attacks on thousands of innocent Pakistan and Afghanistan people, nor would he allow millions of Americans to be hungry and desperate for shelter and health care. He would never have allowed his name to be associated with the genocide and advocacy of war, death, and destruction. He would never have advocated support for Israel's illegal occupation of Palestine. He would never have allowed bankers and corporations to steal the U.S. Treasury and destroy the world financial system. King would never have accepted the Constitution of the continuation of Guantanamo or CIA renditions or illegal U.S. invasions of other countries. Obama won the Peace Prize by escalating a war. King won the same Peace Prize for his leadership as a central civil rights movement and his commitment to world peace. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his life in the fight for the dignity of man. Obama owes his presidency to Martin Luther King Jr., Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and hundreds of other leaders who paved the way for him. I noted there wasn't any male civil rights leaders featured on the platform or in the crowd. Has the media officially replaced Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday with Obama's inauguration day? Or did Obama sign another secret agreement or executive order? to change Martin, to change King's Day, King's birthday, to Obama's Day. Well, congratulations, Mr. President. I hope for the sake of this country you are better at leading than you were the last 4 years. It appears nobody else publicly objects to your theft of Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day, so you win. Today is officially Barack Obama Day. That's January 21st, 2013. Interesting. If I have another. Yeah. I wrote a strange kind of observation poetry poem the other day. yesterday, actually. I'd like to kind of end tonight's show with it. It's called, it's on my website right now, front page. It's called Seeing Part of God. We see part of God everywhere we look. We see God in the sky, on the ground, in books and paintings, drawings, symbols and designs. We see God in every creature, every beauty and horror, every man, every woman, and every child. We see him in the mirror. We see him in our hearts and in our souls. We see him in others. We know who he is and look for him always. We can only see part of God because he is infinite. And I guess with that, I'll end the program. See, we've got another few minutes. I'd like to read this poem. I don't know if I read it before on the show or not, but I wrote it back in September, and very short, but I'd like to read it. It's called Breathing of the Bones. Lost lives breathe the air of time beneath the blue sky of ambition. Bones breathe memories and skulls emptied of thoughts bask in sunlight. Where have the lost generations gone? Lydians embark on journeys into the darkness, lighting the way to our sojourners to follow. One night I will see their light at the end of death's dark hallway. Yeah. And, maybe one more. There's a back in September, I wrote this, September 24th. I hope you enjoyed it. I was thinking, it's called Broke, a recession poem. If your bank account is down and out and you can't afford food or gas, don't worry, all things pass. The world hasn't ended and won't for a while. Put on a smile. Put on a suit, polish your shoes, put on a hat, pet the dog, pet the cat, kiss your lover, hug your kids, thank the lady at the food bank as you're standing in line. Thank the banker who deferred your loan. Thank the creditors who leave you alone. Thank the mailman who delivers your mail. Thank him again if he loses your bills. Thank the doctor who discharges you and your debt. Thank the cable company for shutting off your television set. Thank the electric, water, and phone companies for forcing you off the grid and fulfilling your dream. And think that things don't get better if you are desperate and mad. Things only get worse than really bad. But being broke is a blessing if you can see it that way. It reminds you of all the things you had and gave away. It reminds you when you're on your feet again. So time you have to take stock in yourself and realize what your options are. In some cases, you really don't have too many, but you have faith. And you think positively. You get out there and beat the doors. Think positively. Positive things will happen to you. If you're broke, think positive. Anyway, I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight. Read everything I wrote this month, and I really hope that I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back again next week on Tuesday. Please join me tonight. Check out this archive, but also check out last night's show, which was very good, with Lila, and the night before, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. And we'll be back again next Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday, and with more news and views and all kinds of stuff. So thanks for joining me. Please check out my website, lasteelshow.org, and tell your friends about us, and have a pleasant evening.